Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is Mark. We read, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The time has come. What did Jesus mean when he said those words? One author put it this way: "The word for time implies a decisive time, the great moment foretold by the Old Testament prophets, in which God's final offer of his grace and his final summons to accept it and live by it appear in history." And Paul said, "When the time has fully come, God sent forth his Son." And the Old Testament prophets foretold the time when God with us would be among us, in our midst, in our world. And as the ministry of Jesus Christ begins, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. That decisive time, that decisive moment seems long ago. There is also a decisive time for each and every one of us. And for most of us, it was the day of our baptism. On that day, our Lord Jesus Christ came to us. On that day, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we receive the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. On that day, God worked in us faith. Faith that would apprehend that the promises of God are for us. The promise is for me. Maybe it was through the preaching of the word, but it was God's work. Be it baptism or through the word, the kingdom of God came near to us. The time had come for us. And God reached down to us. The task of the church is to see to it that that message, repent and believe the good news, the gospel, is proclaimed to all the nations. It's not just for the pious Christians sitting in church on Sunday. It's for all people. A message that all need to hear. Because when that word is proclaimed, the time has come for those who hear it. The kingdom of God comes near to them. God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, not next week or next month, now." And so the church corporately and individually is to be about extending the invitation to come and hear that word, repent and believe the good news. Tom Rainier, in his book, The Unchurched Next Door, reveals a startling statistic. In his research, he says that 70% of the unchurch indicate that they would come to church if somebody would ask them and go with them the first time. 70%. It's a reminder of what we read in the gospel lesson last Sunday, a week ago. Philip finds Nathanael. Christ has found Philip. Philip finds Nathanael and issues the invitation, "Come and see." No gimmicks, no flashy stuff, just come and see. Let me share with you a few words from a man who was not in the church, but then came to church. I look back on those years, and the best way to describe it was a time of fog. I didn't think or see much clearly in those days. Most of the time, religious matters were not at the top of my agenda. They were kind of hanging in my conscience. The most amazing thing about that period is that I can't recall one person over those several years who ever said anything to me about Jesus or even the church. I had Christian neighbors who never opened their mouths. I had Christian co-workers just two offices down from mine, never said a word. Looking back now, I think I would have welcomed a word from a Christian. Or then there's the man named Mark who came to church. He was asked, "Why did you come to church?" He said, "Because Chad asked me." Any other reasons? Nope. Just because he invited me. Had anyone invited you before? Nope. No one. Not in my 36 years of life. Are we silent? When the accepted time comes, are we mute? When we know the time is at hand and God has given that time to us, do we just keep silent? Not even a come and see? Our Lord Jesus Christ was not quiet when our time came. When you were baptized, he was not silent. He spoke to you. "I forgive you all your sins. You are mine. Eternal life is yours." He speaks to you in his word, and when you need him most, he is not silent. He speaks to you in love. Oh, he may well call you to repent of your sin, but he is right there to speak a word of forgiveness, of comfort, of life. And now he calls on us to extend the invitation. Come and see. Come and behold your Savior dying on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. Come and behold your Savior lying in a tomb in your place. Come and behold the Savior rising from the dead to conquer death for you. Behold, the promises of God are for you. The task of the church and of each of us is to extend the invitation so that people come to hear the precious word, repent and believe the gospel. And we dare not wait, because souls are dying. Eternity is at stake. There are souls out there waiting on the invitation. They want the invitation. They need to hear Christ's words. And you don't have to be an eloquent speaker. You don't even need a theological education to do it. Come and see. And when they come, Christ will take care of it from there. Because he will meet them with his powerful word. The same word that works in you will work in those you bring to work faith in the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Because that's his gift to you. You have the joy of living each day in the forgiveness of all your sins. You have the joy of living, knowing heaven is yours. And now, we are called to invite others. It's a simple invitation to come. And God will work through the word to work faith in others. to bring them to the joy of forgiveness and life. The world desperately needs to hear. They need to hear so that the kingdom of God comes near to them. The time has come. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.